Can you tell me a little bit about your research?
Yeah, sure. So I am really interested in how humans have a big impact on the land in the context of the Anthropocene. So I guess what I've been interested in specifically within that is how different people have different ways of looking at industrial landscapes. And that's fed into mining, and a real interest in mining as a really big worldwide kind of phenomenon. And so within that, I'm looking at how people have different perceptions of mining, and particularly focusing on post-mining landscapes and how people's perceptions can feed into the design of post-mining landscapes, particularly because they have a really long-lasting legacy, whereas the mine itself is only kind of a finite object.
Amelia, could you just explain what Anthropocene actually means for us lay people?
Sure. So Anthropocene is kind of an unofficial geologic epoch. So it's being proposed, but it's kind of a period that is marking the major human influences on the land. So that's through kind of waste that we've left and is kind of impacting the geological layers. So the idea is that humans are the most significant earth-moving force on the planet at the moment, which is pretty interesting when you look at natural disasters and the impact that they have.
What happens to the mines and often their associated township when the mine can no longer operate?
Right. So the process is rehabilitation, but that is kind of a fairly unclear process. So within different guidelines, different legislation across states, there's not really any mandatory land use and land use. So it's kind of up to the mining company to negotiate with the associated stakeholders and the government, depending on which state it's in, to decide what's going to happen to it, essentially, and what kind of rehabilitation it's going to undertake. And with the township, it kind of depends on the actual relationship that the town has with the mine and whether it was a permanent settlement. Obviously, now it's a lot of FIFO that's happening, so there's not necessarily any major discussions that would happen with the town. But there is, I think there's some need for ongoing consultation with towns, because mining is a major industry, and so it often has a monopoly on a town's industries, and there needs to be something that kind of comes afterwards. So that's another thing that I'm starting to think about, is land use and how it can help the town.
So whose obligation is it then to actually rehabilitate the mine once it's closed?
It is the mining company's obligation, and throughout the mining process, it's very much... Throughout the mining process, the mining company will put aside bonds with the state government, or I think it's different in Western Australia. There's a different system in place, but within the other states, they'll put aside bonds which should cover the cost of rehabilitation, whatever they decide to do with it. However, I kind of am interested in this idea of ongoing rehabilitation, or not necessarily rehabilitation, but alternative land use. So I'm quite interested in the idea that there should be ongoing changes throughout the life of the mine in order to put in place and land use that's kind of more useful to the town and the local stakeholders. So not necessarily waiting until it's closed to come up with a plan for how to deal with it, but kind of integrating it into the process itself.
And who's often the most impacted, or how does this actually impact surrounding communities?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. It's seems to be kind of a chain reaction. So you've got towns closer to the mine, which are obviously providing a lot of employment for the townspeople, and also bringing people from elsewhere in Australia to work in that specific site. So they have a tendency to grow and kind of change the socioeconomic demographics of the area. And then once it's closed, there's kind of an outflux, although there is kind of some alternative research on that, I believe, which... So there's kind of a lag period, but once it's closed, it does have kind of a chain reaction, because a lot of surrounding communities, particularly within Australia, in more remote areas, have a reliance on the township, which has kind of generally been established as a central hub, because it'll have all of the services that surrounding towns will rely on.
How important is it, do you think, to engage the community in these kinds of decisions?
Yeah, I think it's really important. And that's kind of one of the main areas that I'm really focusing in on, is the ways that different community members will have different understandings of the land, different histories, different perceptions about beauty, aesthetics, just interesting sites. And I think it's really important to be able to engage the community, not only to fulfill the obligations of the mine to engage with stakeholders, but to gather different understandings of the land and figure out if any of those can be interesting and useful ways of dealing with the post-mining landscape, and kind of using them as a system, kind of integrating them into a communications method, I suppose, is what I'm looking at. But I think there's a lot of disconnects, particularly through language, that can be overcome if you have kind of these discussions around what people understand about the land.
And when you talk about stakeholders, that it does include the township and the other community members as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, stakeholders is quite a broad term and there's no specific definition for what it means, but in this context, I am talking about people who are both directly influenced and indirectly influenced. So they may or may not be working on the mine, but they definitely have, like, a connection to the area or are affected by the economics of the area or really affected by the township, which is affected by the mine. So it's quite a broad term, but generally people in the local area that will be affected.
And when the community does have the opportunity to provide feedback, how often are their ideas actually implemented?
That is a good question. I can't really speculate on that, I don't think, because there are a lot of different systems in place, and each company will go through its own kind of method for stakeholder engagement. There is kind of like a growing understanding of this idea that people might have alternative ways of dealing with the land, and that there might be better ways of implementing post-mining landscapes. So, for example, there was a visionary community forum, I think, in the Hunter Coal Festival last year that I unfortunately didn't get to go to, but it sounded like it was very much about ideas gathering and taking them on board for planning for closure for the whole region. But the Hunter's quite a specific area because it has a number of different industries within the same space, and it's all very concentrated, so it's very much similar to the European context, which is where a lot of the post-mining examples come from. I couldn't really say how often, but I think it's a changing process, and I think people are becoming more accepting within the industry.
What kinds of ideas are out there about what to do with the actual site or the town?
It really depends on the actual place. There's been a lot of interesting kind of data gathering, I suppose, by different people looking in the area. So the Eden Project had a research team. So the Eden Project is an interesting example of rehabilitation in the UK, in Cornwall, and they kind of turned their clay pit into a greenhouse, a giant kind of botanical garden greenhouse. So they've done a lot of research into just kind of collecting other examples, and they've written a book which is called 101 Things to Do with a Hole in the Ground, which is full of examples. So wine cellars and event spaces and scientific ventures in underground mines, and obviously pit lakes. In Germany, there's a major example of a lake region that is a result of flooding. That intentional flooding and planning for flooding that's created a lake region to bring people back to what has kind of been a much poorer area of Germany